Today we are focusing on family ministry, and we believe family ministry is a priority for us as a church, and God has called us to that. Several years ago, our church made an important shift in focusing towards a family ministry focus, and Janae McMichael was hired as our director of family ministry to help launch that back in 2022, and we have seen the fruit of those efforts since. With the developing of family ministry. So we're going to be team teaching today, and we're going to explore Mechanic Grove's family ministry priority. Before we jump into Psalm 78, Janae will share about the shift to a family ministry focus.
So the family ministry movement, if you will, was birthed out of a season of a lot of transition for the Mechanic Grove church family. And at that time, there was a team of individuals who was tasked with breathing life back into the current youth ministry. And that group quickly realized that our most effective ministry efforts would be together rather than apart. And that meant that ministry would be most effective if we learned and planned in a cohesive manner, but still with age-appropriate focuses. So instead of just changing the way that we were going to do youth ministry, we decided to change the way we wanted to approach ministry for ages 0 to 100. And so being inspired by the grove of trees on our church property, the team established core values for Mechanic Grove's family ministry. And those are values that we still stand by today. We saw the church body like a well-established tree. With solid roots, a tree will produce good fruit. So our roots are God's word, and that's our number one priority as we bridge generations, is to always make sure we have scripture first. We wanted to make sure that we start and ended with our Bibles physically open. Teaching what is appropriate to sound doctrine is what we read about in Titus 2. A strong, established tree has branches that stretch high and they stretch wide, and they are full of fruit. And so we value reaching up towards Jesus as disciples that follow after him, and then out as we make disciples that follow after him. So it's about every generation working together to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And those disciples are producing God-glorifying fruit. Like trees in a grove, like ours here on our property or in a big forest, trees stand tall together. And family ministry here at Mechanic Grove is most effective as a whole family, whole church program. Ministry done for all ages, engaging every generation, partnering with families. So this comes right out of Deuteronomy 6. It's the church and the home standing like that forest together. There are trees on our property here at Mechanic Grove that have stood the test of time. Similarly, our program desires to honor brethren practices and community traditions in our philosophy and our programs. Ultimately, our desire for every generation is the same that Paul had for the church in Colossians, and that's where our root or core text comes from, Colossians 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live our lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Today we're going to be looking at a few verses from Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 78 is a long psalm, and so we're just going to focus in on the initial verses of that psalm. It's written by Asaph, and it recounts God's actions and Israel's responses throughout their history, particularly during the Exodus and when they were wandering in the wilderness. And the psalm emphasizes God's consistent provision and deliverance, and contrasted that with Israel's repeated acts of rebellion and forgetfulness. And the purpose of this psalm was to teach the younger generation, to teach the next generation about the faithfulness of God and about the disobedience of the previous generation. So we want you to hear the words of Psalm 78, 1-7, for a message entitled, Our Family Ministry Priority. Do you have that?
Sure. Psalm 78, 1-7. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. This is the word of the Lord.
Yep. Thank you, Janae. So the idea here is that the first idea is that we learn best in the context of family. And that's our first point today, that faith grows best in the context of family. That's why we shared so much about family here in the children's story. Family has been the greatest place of education for humans for thousands of years. And yes, you can learn things at church. You can learn things in school. You can learn things in colleges and so forth. But faith grows best in the home, in the context of family. And that principle has undergirded the family ministry focus here from the beginning. The family is the context for spiritual growth for people of every age in every generation. And I think we see that in Scripture when you think of family, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, that family was the context for how we nurture and grow our faith. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 6, the D6 program, is based on, this idea that faith grows best in the context of family. Deuteronomy 6, 7 and 9, word tells us that we're always to have on our hearts and minds the commands of God and to teach them diligently to our children. And talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your home and the house and the gates of your home. There is no time or place in life of believers where ministry is not to be central in the home. So in other words, our faith should be nurtured in the context of family. Pastor, I don't have a family. My family's all scattered away or passed away, and I'm sort of alone in this world. Well, keep in mind, the family's not defined by blood, but by relationship. And I shared in the children's story about, you know, sometimes the church is indeed our family as well. And one of the pictures we shared there was of the church, Mechanic Grove Church, 30 years ago, standing outside, being the family of God. So, churches are part of the family as well. We can have moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandma and grandpas. They are family, but if you don't have those, you have the church family. Janae's going to share a little bit.
I'm grateful to have grown up in a Christian home, and both sides of my extended family and the family that I married into follow the Lord, and I don't take that for granted. And that's deeply impacted my faith journey, and it still does today. But there are others who are part of my spiritual family that hold a special place in my heart because of the way they invested into me and into my spiritual life. And I think of my children's pastor when I was a kid, Pastor Doug and his wife Janet, and my youth leader Terry, a few of my cousins, my college roommate Kayla. My spiritual family has deep roots in my biological family, but it also has, my spiritual branches are full of people who have poured into and loved me beyond my blood relationships.
So our first point is faith grows best in the context of family. But there's a second point we need to make as well, and that is family ministry is a vital part of Christian community. Verse 4 of Psalm 78 says, "We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done." Verse 4 reminds us the importance of both the family level and the church level of telling the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. We believe so strongly in family ministry that we put so much time and energy into it because it is such a vital and essential part of our identity. We are a congregation that is family-oriented and community-oriented, and we want God to be exalted in our family ministry, which is such a vital part of our witness to the community. That's why we have children's outreach ministries. For 50 years now, we've had that. A ministry to older adults that has started here in just the last couple years. Youth ministry, children's ministry, adult ministry, and ministry to our homebound and our shut-in members. We are committed to investing in every generation at Mechanic Grove. 2 months ago, Ruth and I traveled to Butler, Pennsylvania for her family reunion. And when we came back, we had lunch with Pastor Ron Miller and his wife, Ann, in State College. In 2001 and 2002, Ron and Ann were with Ruth and I at Asbury Seminary as we were in the same doctorate program. And we had become good friends ever since. They've been to our house, we've been to their house many times. And Ron has been at Trinity Lutheran Church in State College for a long time. 30-plus years. And he's about 10 years older than I am, and he's talking about retiring. And we enjoyed our time together, and I learned that Ron was becoming frustrated in his ministry at Trinity. In his own words, he said, "We have no children and youth." And here I am celebrating the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the young adult ministry here at Mechanic Grove, and my brother in Christ, who has been serving so faithfully, is lamenting that his church doesn't have children, doesn't have youth. Family ministry is a vital part of our Christian community. It's a vital part of who we are as Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Do you know that there are approximately 350,000 churches in the United States? Think about that, 350,000 churches. About half of them worship 65 people or less on a Sunday morning. About half. Of that half, how many of those churches do you believe with 65 in worship or less have a dynamic family ministry? Probably very few, very few. In fact, a year and a half ago, there was an article that was put out entitled, "The Struggle of the Childless Church." Friends, these churches are for real. When I was a district executive, I had to go and visit among our churches, and time again, I would go and be the youngest person in the congregation. There was no children, there was no youth, and there was very little hope that they were going to be able to turn it around. There are many churches that are 65 in worship or less that have no children, no next generation, and these are four real churches, and they're right here in our own community as well. But here is what I found interesting. The article gave five reasons why churches become childless churches, but the one reason they gave that seemed most important is this. Childless churches are reaching for kids, but ignoring their families. Think about that. They're reaching for kids, but ignoring their families. Churches want kids. Kids bring life into the building. And let's face it, a church looks and feels a lot healthier when kids attend. We want to show kids who Jesus is and hopefully lead them to the Lord. And we want to see children get saved. All right, yeah, absolutely. But if we're not investing in families, we're missing out. The author says, "I strongly believe that the best way to reach children for the Lord is to reach their parents. A strong Christian home means so much more for a child's development than a questionable decision at a kid's event when a child is going to return to a spiritually unsupportive home." Think about that. That's why family is so important. It is the context in which our faith grows. That's why we invested in D6. That's why we have family ministry, a central part, ministry to parents and grandparents, children and youth. The psalmist declared, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done."
One of the ways that we're going to tell the next generation, as Psalm 78 talks about, and how we're going to grow this Christian community or the whole church family this year is through an Every Generation Prayer campaign. If you attended the Roots volunteer training that we had, you'll recall an article I shared with the group talking about faith drift. I'm going to share it again this morning to help everyone better understand.
Oops, you cut out.
All right, so this article I'll share with you talks about the faith drift. And I'm going to share it with you again because I think it's going to help you get a better understanding of this collective role that we're all going to play in this prayer project. So it says, according to multiple studies, 40 to 50% of youth group seniors, like the ones in our church, drift or fade away and disappear from God and the faith community after they graduate from high school. The Fuller Institute studied the effects of 13 different youth group participation variables, meaning 13 different activities that churches tend to offer for youth groups. You'll be glad to learn that service and justice, small groups, student leadership, and retreats are all important in building a faith that lasts. But surprisingly, the variables most correlated with mature faith in high school and college are involvement in intergenerational worship and intergenerational relationships. In this study of 500 youth group graduates, bringing the generations to sit shoulder to shoulder or look eye to eye was more important for long-term faith than any other youth group activity. One study examining young adults who drop out of the church found that 18% of youth group graduates who remain connected to the church had five or more adults invest in them spiritually and personally between ages 15 and 18. That finding aligns with an astute recommendation made by Chap Clark. For the last few years, Chap has advocated that we need to reverse the adult-to-kid ratio in children's and youth ministries. What does that mean? Many ministry leaders say that they want to have one adult present for every five kids during small group meetings, Sunday school classes, or youth group activities. CHAP's encouragement is to reverse that ratio so that instead of having one adult for every five students, we have five adults for every one student. We're not talking about five Bible study leaders or five adults who maybe lead a small group. We're also not talking about the five adults whose parents outsource the spiritual, emotional, social, and intellectual development of their kids. We're talking about five adults who know a young person's name, who pray for them, who show up occasionally at that young person's gymnastics meet or volleyball tournament. In other words, five adults who are on their team. A lot of our programming this year will be designed and Lord willingly staffed in a way that is conducive to creating environments where these intergenerational relationships thrive. Remember, family ministry is not just for families with children and teens in their home, it's for every generation. So in efforts to create a space for the church family to grow and flourish here at church and let that spill into homes, for the 2025-2026 school year, we're organizing the Pray For Me campaign. This is another initiative birthed out of the D6 conference, and our goal with this campaign is to connect five praying adults of different age categories to each of our Roots kids, and so that every one of our kids will have at least five adults tagged to them who have committed to pray or invest into a relationship with them over the course of this school year. We're going to watch this short video that talks a little bit more about the generational effects of the Pray For Me campaign, and then we'll talk about how we're going to execute it here in our church family.
When I first started in youth ministry years ago, I would have never predicted that one of the key factors happening in youth ministry is that when young people graduate from high school, they would leave the church and they would graduate from church and their faith. That is something that became too hard for us to ignore. Doing what we've been doing for 18 years was important and strategic work, but the one thing we need to do is we need to imagine some new ways to come alongside the church and help them serve the next generation.
Pray For Me has had an incredible impact on the churches I've served. We've been involved for really a whole decade that the Pray For Me has been going on, and I've just watched how God has blessed our churches through this ministry.
The first thing that stands out with my involvement praying for the young people, because of my age, all of my children are raised and gone. I didn't have any contact really with the young people. And so one of the incentives for me was I began to pray for them so I might get to know them better. Another thing was it helped me organize my prayer life. It's one thing to say, well, God bless this guy and God bless my grandchildren. But to be specific was a tremendous help to me, because those qualities that are listed in our prayer guide are very basic qualities that all Christians should have.
So I started Pray For Me when I was in sixth grade. And I went all the way through the program, graduated high school, and then became a prayer champion. So as a Pray For Me student, I had some of the most phenomenal prayer champions. I had one who was a pastor's wife who was my prayer champion. And high school, I truly believe, is one of the hardest times in a person's life. I was working, had school, taking honors classes, and there was a time my junior year where I was just swamped. I felt very overwhelmed. And I got a text that just said, just know all of your anxieties, cast them to the Lord and all this. And it was the craziest thing, because I felt peace instantly. I just knew that I was being prayed for, and it's an amazing feeling. And now being on the other side of it, I get to do that for a student.
About a year ago, my bride Laurel and I, we wanted others to be praying for our children. We have two sons and a daughter who are all now teenagers. I think of that passage in Hebrews 12, the great cloud of witnesses. And Laurel and I both are beneficiaries of men and women who have invested in our lives, from youth leaders and pastors and coaches and teachers. So last year we invited 12 men to pray for Thomas, 12 men to pray for Noah, and 12 women to pray for Bella.
It is one of our greatest privileges as a married couple to pray for our family. Using the Pray For Me grandparent guide, I have loved the idea of praying for these essentials, these broad character building essentials for my grandchildren. Because as a grandparent, I'm not always involved in the day-to-day, everyday things that go on.
We just know the importance of prayer, and we know the importance of adults besides parents being engaged with young people.
I also know if we only pray for our children and our grandchildren, that's not wise kingdom living. We all need people besides our kin folks praying for us, and that means so much.
If someone's contemplating being a prayer champion, my first thought is, what is there to lose? I mean, you have the opportunity to make an impact in a student's life. Somebody could have made that impact in your life when you were younger. You could be that person for them. It's an amazing opportunity. In my mind, because I was a student through it, I'm like, why would anybody pass this up? I can remember conversations that I had with my prayer champions, and just different times we went out to eat, or gifts that they got me. And it truly has left an impact on my life, and I want to be that for somebody else. Prayer can move mountains, so be that for somebody. Students are going through so much, especially in today's world. It's easier than it sounds, and it becomes habit, and a good habit to have. And it's just an amazing experience that I don't think anyone should pass up.
After I had shared that article about the faith drift at our Roots volunteer training, I asked adults in the room to start to pick Roots kids that they wanted to invest intentionally into relationship with, whether that's show up at a gymnastics meet or write a note or send a card. And so we had all of the Roots kids' names in a circle on posters, and they started jotting their names around kids that they felt led to invest into a relationship. And today you'll have an opportunity to add to what already exists in this web that we're creating for each one of our Roots kids. You'll see in the gathering area these posters that we started at the volunteer training and the students' names that are in each circle. Your goal today is to decide if you want to commit to be a prayer champion, as they were mentioning in the video, and pray for one. You're choosing just one Roots kid for this entire school year. And ideally, there'll be people from each generation praying and investing tangibly into that individual student. When you go out into the gathering area, there's color-coded dots that'll help you, or you can just sign up and say, hey, pick a kid for me, or you can pick one kid to be a prayer champion for this year. And you also can sign up to grab one of these prayer guides if you'd like. They're out there free to look at. But that's another tool for you to pray this year, not just so you don't just have to pray, God, what do you want me to pray for this Roots kid? This will give you some specifics to pray over that pray over that Roots kid that you have. So I'm asking you to consider and listen to what the Lord is nudging you towards, to pick one Roots kid to be a prayer champion for this year. And hopefully that generational group will then embody through prayer what we read in verses 5 through 7 in Psalm 78. And I'm going to read them to you one more time. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and that they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments.
So our final point today is that family ministry is our strategy for being a church for every generation. And we want to continue passing along the faith. It's been handed down to us. So we want to hand it down to the next generation as well, and be a church for every generation. As the praise team comes forward, I'm going to invite them to come forward and get prepared for our final song today. And just want to remind you again of how significant family ministry is for us here at McKenna Grove Church of the Brethren. And we're going to continue to champion that. We appreciate Janae and her ministry and leadership, what she is doing to be a champion for family ministries, and an opportunity for you to engage through this initiative of praying for our children, and again, helping us to be a church for every generation. Mark chapter 3, verse 35 says, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." We are part of this great family, growing together, doing God's will together, and being the church. And may it be so for each and every generation. The praise of his glory. Amen. So be it.